In the spring of 1843, Joseph Smith gave the saint some instruction on matters of eternal communion and relationships. Section 130 of the Doctrine and Covenants, he begins, or what we have now is Section 130 of the Doctrine and Covenants anyway. It says, "When the Savior shall appear, we shall see him as he is. We shall see that he is a man like ourselves." So he begins by talking about the Savior coming and the relationship between who the Savior is and who we are, and that we will see something of ourselves in him. Then he continues, the beginning of the next sentence, it starts with "and." And so that suggests the relationship between what he's just said and what he's going to say. "And that same sociality which exists among us here will exist among us there, only it will be coupled with eternal glory, which glory we do not now enjoy." So when the Savior appears, yes, we'll see him as a man, we'll see this, we'll see ourselves reflected in him, and also we'll see our relationships, reflected in the relationships that he has with the Society of the Exalted, and the Church of the Anointed One, the Church of the Son of God. Now, a lot of people, or some things I've read, they suggest that when we talk about God being a man, that in the form of a man, that we're simply imposing our view of the world on them. We're imposing ourselves, our existence on them. But what Joseph Smith taught suggests to me that we're right in imposing that on them. Because the same sociality that exists among us here, those same social tendencies will go with us. That they are part of what it means to be exalted, because they will be coupled with eternal glory. They will be glorified, exalted, those relationships. I find that extremely scintillating and thrilling. Now, Rachel Hunt Steinblick, she explores this reflection of the reflection of our mortal relationships in these immortal relationships. She talks about searching for the mother, the way a baby roots for her mother's breast, head nuzzling from side to side, mouth open, ready to suckle. That's how the poem begins. So she's searching for the mother by delving into the only relationship that she has had with a mother, as a baby nursing at her mother's breast, searching for her in that way, and seeking for her in that relationship. And that she's not really able to fully find her until, or to find her more deeply until her belly begins to grow, until she has a child of her own and begins to offer that child milk without money and without price, to give herself over to that child fully. And in that relationship, it kind of turns it on it. Or she, it turns the relationship with Mother in Heaven on its head again, when she starts thinking about wondering what it took, wondering if we were weaned just as she weaned her child. Her evolving relationship with her own child with her mother and then with her own child has informed what she understands or what she seeks for in the relationship with her Heavenly Mother. And she follows this kind of throughout the entire poem, talking about, again, the development of the relationship, the way that the father sleeps through the crying child, or the father sleeps through the sound of the child crying all night, while the mother wakes at every sound. And all of these things, they come down to just a reflection of memories of this relationship with the mother. In stanza 3, section 3 of the poem, she begins, "Conch shells. They are not the ocean, they are memories of the ocean." So the relationship that we have, that we understand about our mother in heaven, and also even more broadly with our heavenly parents, this community of the exalted, it's like conch shells. They're not the ocean, but they're memories of the ocean. What we have, the reflection, the relationships that we have here, they bring with them echoes, memories of these prior relationships and relationships to come. And she seeks this throughout the poem, that it gives her spirit and breath. It's this, I find a deep longing in the poem, especially when we come to the last stanza, section 5. When her daughter was born, she says, "I asked her two questions. One, did she remember me, my voice, my smell, my beating heart? Was there any memory when she came out of her mother's womb? Did that relationship still exist? And then the second question she asked, did she remember the one we both call mother? Her voice, her smell, her heart. So do we carry any intimations of this relationship with us into this life? Or is everything that we know about our mother in heaven based upon the relationships that we have with our own mothers, with our own children, with those people around us? She says, I can't remember anything. And yet she's reaching for all of this throughout the poem, reaching for this relationship and the sociality that she has with those around her. And I find that deep longing, it's compelling, and I find it redemptive in a sense, because she is reaching, she's seeking in her own relationships to deepen her relationship and to find her own mother in heaven.